Hi, I'm Sarah Kaufman, the cheese sculptor, Busy Carbon Cheese, and you're listening to Rabbi Tom Solomon on Days Gone By on UNC Radio.
Oh, welcome everyone to the Dave's Gone By radio program. I am so excited I get to talk to so many interesting and unusual people on the show. I talk to actors and directors and designers and writers, and now I get to talk to someone who cuts the cheese. Now, I am not making that joke up for new, you've heard it a gazillion times, but it is actually literal in this particular case, because I will be talking with Sarah Kaufman. She is an artist, she is an artiste, and her venue, her mode, shall we say, is actually cheese. She carves beautiful sculptures and designs into blocks of cheese. Why does she do this? I have no idea. So Sarah Kaufman, please share with us why?
Why? I can't help myself. I'm a natural-born cheesehead from Wisconsin, so it just comes naturally. What can I say?
Eating cheese comes naturally if you're in Wisconsin. Perhaps churning cheese or milking cows. This is what they do in Wisconsin, besides freezing to death and cheering for the bucks. But you, what made you want to stick a knife into things and make it pretty?
Well, again, I was born this way. I always drew a lot as a kid. Draw this, draw that. Always drawing. So I knew I had to do something with art for a career. But luckily, I dreamed of going to school for commercial art.
Okay.
That got me a job with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. And that's where I ran into cheese carving. I didn't dream it up. I wish I could say I did, but...
Oh, so wait, somebody asked you.
He found me.
So what happened? Somebody said, here's a little hunk of Velveeta. Could you please make it into something?
Well, actually, I would hire people to carve for us when it first all began. And we'd have gorgeous sculptures carved by them. And I'd work with them on what to carve. They'd deliver the carving, and I'd see it, and I loved it. And I went, I got to do this someday. And guess what? I did. So here I am now. It's my full-time job.
Did you have a mentor, kind of like people studied under Michelangelo? Did you have a cheese-elangelo?
Yeah, a little bit. There was a fellow who carved for us, and he side-by-side carved with him on a few little sculptures, but he was my inspiration, Alan, Chef Alan. Oh, he just got me all wound up and excited about carving cheese. So yes, I have to give him credit because of his beautiful work.
Okay.
And, but pretty much it was just figure it out, dig in, and start carving.
Now, why cheese and not, say, butter?
Oh, why cheese and not butter?
Yes.
Why cheese and not butter? Butter, well, because cheese found me first. And you know what? Everybody else carves butter. So I like to do a new niche. Plus, I'm pretty social. I when I'm carving, I talk a lot to people and tell them all about cheese and the history and the quality. And if I was stuck in a cooler, I would I'd be freezing to death. And I'd never get to talk to the people.
What temperature does it have to be when you're doing your thing? It can be room temperature or just a little cooler than that, because it won't melt.
It doesn't melt. I just get the cheese out of the cooler and dig in. And then I may work on it for a couple of hours or 3 hours or 4 hours and put it away to cool down. But I'm not stuck with it at any temperature. In fact, today I'm here in upstate New York carving right in front of the people at Washington County Fair. And it's about 85 degrees. I'm in a building, but I'm carving right there doing a tractor. And they're walking by and watching. And, you know, it's getting warmer. But eventually I'll put that carving in the cooler and get out another 40-pound block and start carving a cow, or I'll carve a group of animals.
Now, here's a couple of things that I was a little surprised by. I assumed that you carve the thing and then you spray it so that it stays and it becomes a work that stays for a little bit. But this is not true. You carve it and either people eat it or you, what, got to throw it away in a day?
Well, most of the time it is eaten for an event. I'll carve live at an event and then the people will eat it. In this case, I'll be here for 2 days and I'll be doing a series of carvings that will be on display. The big, gigantic sculptures that I do are on display in coolers with big windows for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then the cheese is actually chopped up, and a farmer will pick it up and serve it to his pigs because we want food safety. The human animals will not eat it, but it'll be served to animals.
Yes, I think that's kind of wonderful in the fact that you're not wasting food, because people in Africa and wherever, Ethiopia, wouldn't say to them, oh my God, look at how you're wasting tons and tons of cheese just for work, and then boom, it's gone. But you're saying if it doesn't go to people in a day or two, it's then gone to farm and pigs and still regenerated in a sense. That's good.
Yeah. And actually, a lot of cheese trim in the industry does go into feeding animals, like your big, large cutting plants that cut blocks of cheese into the smaller pieces that you see in the grocery store. There's cheese trim when not the perfect squares, and that is gathered and that is then reprocessed into animal feed.
Good. I'm happy about that. Let me also ask, this is interesting questions to me. They really are. When I watch cake bosses and cake masters and, you know, make the cake shows on TV, what they're doing is they do all these different little things in separate places, and then they try and sort of glue them together with fondant, whatever the hell that is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever do one piece here, one piece there, and sort of mush it together cheese-wise, or is it always one big block of carving all together?
Well, most of the time, I often take the big blocks and cut them up into smaller chunks so it can be spread out and make a larger display. I'll often take blocks and put them together, like my 6-foot alligator. That was made from 7 40-pound blocks of cheese, the head, the chest, the torso, the hips, and then from then on, cut up 40-pound blocks, 7 of them, to make the 6-foot alligator. That then was used in a grocery store for a couple weeks on display, and then it went to the gator football tail gator game, where they served it to hundreds of people as they walked by. So
wow.
There's a perfect example of putting blocks together to make a big sculpture.
And have you done that with different kinds of cheese, in the sense where you would get different colors? So you could do...
Correct.
Oh, so yeah, you will use... What kinds of cheese then?
Well, I mostly use cheddar. It's dense and consistent. It holds up really well. It tastes great. Comes in big sizes, like 640-pound blocks or 500 pounds, 1,000, 2,000, 5,000, 10,000 pound blocks. That's ginormous. A 10,000 pound
block of
wheel of cheese,
cheddar cheese.
That's a 10,000 pound wheel of cheese is 10 feet in diameter by 10 feet tall. That comes with its own zip code.
So,
different kinds of Cavaliere, Provolone, Parmesan, Asiago, Pepper Jack, Monterey Jack.
Yeah, I would figure Pepper Jack carves nicely. I would figure that. And also, if you're doing like a giant alligator, wouldn't it make sense to have white teeth? So you use the Monterey or the Pepper Jack for the teeth.
Exactly.
And something else for the...
Exactly. Like, the gator was orange, and then I dig a groove and I inlay white cheese into the teeth and the eyeballs to really make that pop. So I love doing that.
Now, we're talking with Deborah Kaufman, the cheese lady. On your website, there's a mention of the Guinness Book of World Records. Are you in there? How?
I am. I set the Guinness Book of World Records, world's largest cheese carving, at 925 pounds. That was 2 years ago at the Wisconsin State Fair, where I did a roller coaster car with a cow and a pig and a chicken and kids going over the roller coaster, you know, their arms up, whee! and that ended up being 925 pounds, which is not the biggest carving I've ever done. My biggest now that I built is 2,500 pounds. But Guinness has to be there to adjudicate the process and, you know, to bless it and make sure everything legal, and that's why 925 pounds is the world record.
And it has stayed. Nobody's challenged it yet. So you still hold it. Nobody broke it.
I still hold the record, yeah.
Are you going to go for, since you've already done like 2,500 pounds, are you going to try and get the Guinness Book people around to do a 3,000 pounder?
Well, that takes a lot of coordination with your client and the event, and then you call Guinness about a year ahead and you get in line to do it, and they want you to succeed. That's the good thing, is they're all about how can we make this bigger, better, and successful. So I just have to find, there just has to be another client who wants to set the record, and we'll just get bigger cheese.
Have you ever carved kosher cheese? And is it different from the regular Galician cheeses?
Kosher cheese. Oh, I have carved kosher. Yes, indeed. It's the same. It's just made in your kosher kitchen. Your baths are all kosher, and the milk and the rabbis on hand to make sure that everything is copacetic. But it carves the same, and it's usually a more organic kind of cheese.
Good.
Fabulous.
I'm very glad to hear this. Kosher's better, ladies and gentlemen, even with carving, even with art. Oh, I'm so happy to hear that.
Yes.
Now, can I ask, I think it's wonderful what you do, but I'm also kind of curious, do you think it's ever possible to create great, lasting art in this kind of discipline? Even if it's eaten afterwards, or is it always going to be just sort of fun things for town fairs and conventions and stuff?
Yes, I could create great art. And if you look at a group of 9 different still lifes I did years ago that were beautiful, one was a scooping of salad, one was a fruit scooping, one was artichokes and peppers, and they were done and lit beautifully. And then I recently carved the Wounded Warrior soldiers, where the soldier is carrying the other soldier on his back. That was at Pentagon City. And that was beautiful and very emotional.
You made that out of cheese.
Yeah. I carved that out of 1,200 pounds of cheese in Pentagon City, in a grocery store as people shopped, and everyone there is government or military, and everyone would come by and tell me a story about their veteran or themselves or a friend or a father or an uncle who served and was wounded, and it was very sobering, you know, and quite wonderful, quite different than, you know, their usual whimsical.
Of course, like, well, yes, that's why the question, I mean, yeah. The idea of carving Guernica out of, you know, Rice Krispie bars just staggers me away.
Well, you know you've seen the Virgin Mary and potato chips.
Oh, well, but that's unintentional. What have been some happy accidents that you had while carving cheese? Or any great discoveries?
So I have very few. Unfortunately, I have very few. But my big all-timer is I carved a 6-foot-tall astronaut for the Air and Space Museum and the anniversary of the moonwalk back in 2009. And it was a 640-pound block sculpture stack, and I worked like a dog on it, 90-some hours in 3-4 days. Well, what happened is when I did the site visit at the museum, it was cold and the air conditioning was on. Well, in the meantime, some of the funding had been cut from the museum, so they were turning the air conditioning off at night. So the sculpture, we put the sculpture in place for the next day event. And in the wee hours of the night, the sculpture warmed up.
Oh,
so
no.
The consistent solidity of it kind of gave way, and the second layer slid backward and off the sculpture. So they got in there in the morning, and the astronaut and cheese, he melted. He fell over.
Oh,
he did. So we ran, got a forklift, we put him back together, I propped him up, I gave him knee surgery, and he was fine and dandy for the big event. But that got so much press all over the world. Astronaut and cheese melts! Astronaut and cheese takes moonwalk and falls! and so that's the only mishap that's really ever happened, but you know, it turns out to be the better story that I said, well, you know, I told him to stay placed behind his velvet rope. Well, the astronaut had to go for a walk that night. We had our own night in the museum. The astronaut went for a walk and he tripped over a bench and fell. So now I'm giving him knee surgery and he'll be better soon.
Oh, that's, Oh, that's marvelous.
It was.
We have just another moment or two with Sarah Kaufman. Another story that does strike me as kind of amusing. I don't know if it will strike you, but you also carved a 300-pound gorilla out of cheese at a gala for what was the National Juvenile Diabetes Association. Didn't they sort of think that perhaps carving something out of a big salty cheese is not the best sort of message for kids with diabetes? I mean, of all things...
I know.
You know. It's like, why not just do a chocolate bar?
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand, you know, a rutabaga. I know, but anyway, it sounds like, first of all, not only do you love your job, but that this is now your full-time job. You don't even have to do the dairy promotion anymore, that part of it.
Yeah.
You are a full-time cheese sculptor and promoter. Well, not promoter, an advocate of what the physical act of carving.
I've already been carving full-time for 8 years.
Wow.
And constantly I have to block off a week here and there so that I have some time off. Because if I'm not carving, traveling, drawing, scraping, digging, planning, talking with people, I'm sleeping.
Right.
I left home June 10th, and I won't be home until November.
What?
So that's how much I'm on the road.
Are you married?
Luckily, my husband works for me and travels with me and likes to travel with me.
Oh, okay.
Or else we wouldn't be.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, because how do you have a home life if you're gone from June? So it's like a rock star. You know, don't even get to set up your house.
I know, it's like a cheese rock star cheese tour.
Wow, you are cheeses of Nazareth. That's what you are. You really are. That's
yes,
right.
Yes.
By the way, are you? It's none of my business, but I must know. Are you Jewish or not?
I am Catholic.
Okay.
So when it's time for Lent, and I would be spending time doing all these promotions, we would laugh and say, "Look at the Last Supper. Jesus looking to his right." He's saying, pass the cheeses, please. Or, Jesus didn't die on the cross. Because remember, in the olden days, we would glue macaroni onto whatever to make, and spray it full to make Girl Scout art. And I remember we had to make crosses, and we glued macaroni on and sprayed it gold. So we always thought, Jesus died on the cross with macaroni and cheese. So it has its cute.
Do you ever get sick of cheese? Because it does smell, and you're touching it for 10, 12 hours at a time, and you're eating it. Do you ever want to take a month away from any kind of cheese whatsoever and go back to, like, Oscar Mayer Lunchables?
No, actually, I love cheese, and I try not to eat cheese, you know, as much cheese. I don't tend to eat it anymore, because I just tell people, you know, if you frost cakes and you frosted your 1,000th cake, you stop licking your knife. You know the frosting is good, but you stop licking your knife. And so I taste it, and every once in a while, there's a piece I can't resist. So I will indeed eat it, or the certain specific kinds of cheese. But I don't even think of it as cheese after a while. It's the tractor, or the cow, or the alligator that I'm carving. And I don't even think of that. I love cheese.
Well, thank God you do. Otherwise, we'd be in a real problem. It's a good thing you're not allergic to it, for crying out loud. Now, my last question for the delightful Sarah Kaufman, who, by the way, you can find out all about her and see tons of pictures of her work at sarahcheeselady.com, and that's Sarah with an H, like in the Bible, sarahcheeselady.com. Now I've already forgotten the question I was going to... Oh, yes. What would be your advice if people are listening to this, young girls, young men, who are like, oh, I think I want to do this, and yet they have no access to 1,000, 10,000 pounds of cheese? How can they get, what should they do?
Go to the store and get a pound of cheese and start there. And you go and get these ceramic wire loop tools. They're easily available at an art store or online, and just, you know, Google ceramic tools, wire loop tools. And you can get some inexpensively. Make yourself a little pattern. Start with your letter, like you were going to do a stamp, a rubber stamp. So carve that out two-dimensionally, or like a wood block that you were going to make a print. And start simple. And then, you know what? If you goof up, you can eat your mistakes.
This is true. That's the beauty. That's why I like to carve an ice cream. That's what I do. I take a spoon, I start writing Hebrew letters. By the fifth letter, I get bored, so I start eating. For me, this is ideal.
Yeah.
That works beautifully.
Yeah.
Well, we have been talking with the delightful Sarah Kaufman, the cheesy Sarah Kaufman. Please check her website to see where she is doing her thing, where she is carving.
Yeah, my next stop is New York State Fair in Syracuse this coming Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then the following weekend. After that, I go to Anchorage, Alaska.
Wow.
Go to Des Moines. Then I go to Madison and on and on and on.
Well, I hope you keep going on and on. Sarah Kaufman, thank you so much for your work, for your time, and for your cheese.
You're very welcome.